Now, a Talk Radio 1210 WPHT special presentation.
It's the end of the world.
Hey, Neuro, let's put a trigger warning on trigger warnings.
I gotta take it on the other side.
Anthony, what's up, my man? How you doing today, sir?
I'm good. I'm good. Yeah. A lot of crazy stuff continues to happen. I just keep glancing at the news, and they show Joe Biden over and over talking at a brewery today.
Yeah, what the hell's going on with him, man? Is he okay? I'm like, me and Don have been playing this game today. It was like, oh, the little man, usual. He's been off his rocker, man. I hope he's okay. Like,
he doesn't seem okay. I mean, he's old and he's running for president for a second time and he can barely speak. So it's not what you want to see from a presidential candidate, let alone the current president. So
No, it's bad. At a brewery, we'll play that clip here in a second. If you're joining us just for the first time, my name's Dan Borowski, producer of the Dom Giordano program, Anthony Dorenzo, producer of Don Stensland, Kalen Company, the company of Kalen Company. And we take you on the other side of the glass. We talk about what we want to talk about. A lot of weird off-kilter stuff, what the hell's going on kind of stuff, politics, entertainment, sports. Anthony, this week we've had a lot of fun with computers at the station and video cameras, and it seems that fun has continued tonight. We were supposed to start a little couple minutes ago, but it's been fun trying to get the technology going.
Nothing wants to work.
Nothing at all, dude. Everything's crashing on us. Do you want to do what we said we might do, though, or should we save that for another time? Drop a link in the chat for people to join us on here?
A rogue link for people to join and try to chime in, the same way we do with calls.
Is that bad news?
I don't know. You're the one that gets to see who joins, so it's up to you if they're in the conversation.
I get to control it, right? So I can stop when I want. All right.
Yeah.
Let's throw that out there. It's on YouTube, so go on the YouTube. If you're watching us on Twitter right now, go on to YouTube. All right, so let's get started. A lot of border stuff that we've been talking about on 1210 this week, Ron DeSantis. But Joe Biden, as you said, something weird's going on with him, man. Take a watch. You sent this over.
Beer brewed here. It is used to make the brew beer. It is fine. Oh, Earth Rider, thanks for the Great Lakes. I wonder what it's like.
What?
What?
No, what? No, translate it. Translate it. Go ahead. Give me your best shot. It's
It is used to make the brew beer. It is.
All right.
They use hops to brew this beer. Like, I don't know. He's trying to talk about how they make the beer, but he's just totally failing 1,000%. This is, the caption to the tweet, it's like me after 6 IPAs at a brewery. And I think that's pretty spot on.
Is this what's this noise he's trying to make too? Is this a word?
Fine. Oh, Earth Rider, thanks for the Great Lakes.
Worthwhile. Thanks for the Great Lakes.
And the crowd seemingly knows what he's talking about.
Is that Great Lakes Brewing Company? Is that? Yeah. I know that's a brewing. That could be the thing. I mean,
but that's exactly what it is. Is when I'm 6 IPAs deep at a local brewery, someone asks me what I'm drinking.
I mean, it is impossible to remember what any of those beers are called as well.
So. As you see, we'll get into Sirianni. We got some Vince McMahon I want to talk about. What a fall from grace this guy's having right now. Ugh, sad.
Well, you're the WWE guy, so.
I know, and it's sad because he's not a childhood hero of me. I kind of always hated the guy. Mr. McMahon was a horrible person, character. No one wanted him. I was a Stone Cold Steve Austin lover. But the thing is, when you have someone doing as stuff as heinous as he has, and we'll get into what he's done, it's hard to come back from and say – honestly, do you think it tarnishes people who say they support wrestling and WWE, or do you think that people can separate the facts between of it is now that you look back all right, we'll get into that. You know what? Let's get into it right now. Yeah. We look back at the Attitude Era of the WWE, and there was a lot of sexual references, Mae Young and Mark Henry had gave birth to a hand at one point.
It was just very in your face and almost hypersexualized and masculine. It was just it was almost more in your face than UFC is now. Correct,
dude. And I freaking loved it. I loved it. I loved Howard Stern too. I felt the raw, the brashness was good. But now I look back on it, man, it has a different kind of meaning to it.
As you see in the headline here, Vince McMahon assaulted an ex-employee with sex toys named after WWE wrestlers and then defecated on her head during a threesome.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Like that as a headline alone. Oh my god.
Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty gross. And like a lot of stuff happened. I'm going to my notes here. One encounter, WWE offices, June 2021. McMahon and Laurinaitis, who's known as Johnny Ace, a longtime guy that's been like the brass of WWE, forced themselves on this person and took turns restraining the other. Alleged in a lawsuit, McMahon told the female to create sexualized content on her phone and send it to Brock Lesnar, a former UFC star trying to recruit him. Some information about that, but it's just absolutely, it's sad, man. And I don't know. It gives me more pride in AEW, I guess, but I don't want to be the kind of guy that starts canceling people. But Vince McMahon, you're disgusting, dude. It's pretty gross.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty damning, and I think really what's come out and how it continues to come out, it pretty much just shows that he tried to push NDAs and people signed and got paid off, which, I mean, obviously, if you've been through trauma, I get it to a point, but when you run an organization like that, it's just hard to move forward. I mean, obviously, they're making other headlines as well lately with the big Netflix deal where they've, you know, have that 10-year deal now with Netflix and live Monday Night Raw every week on Netflix, which I think will be good for the platform. But
$5 billion.
Which is crazy. I mean, would you think? I don't know. I'm not saying they're not worth a lot, but you just don't really think of these huge numbers when it comes to WWE in 2024, but it still has that market. It really does. So I don't know, like how do you think this is going to impact where they are at right now? Like, will these headlines, will the truth of what happened back then, depending on how much of this is true and what the investigations say, like, what do you think the impact will be?
I don't know. Like, to be quite honest, it's now owned by Ari Emanuel Endeavor. They paid $21.4 billion for it. Complete new ownership. It's almost like they saw the writing on the wall that this was all going to happen, and they got everything as far away from Vince McMahon's hands as possible. They actually forced
him off. Is his daughter still involved? Is she still?
Yeah, she's involved, and so is Triple H. But they don't have much total control over anything. And I mean, Vince McMahon, the McMahon family, they made out with golden parachutes, tons of money that they now get, and they still have a role in the leadership, but Vince McMahon himself is completely out of it. And I don't know, I think they've done a really good job being ahead of things. They've created a very strong women's division, which I think allows them a little bit of gusto when trying to push back against it. You know, I think they'll be okay. I don't know if they'll take any hit. And if you see something like Netflix paying $5 billion, I mean, it might say more about the thirst for live entertainment, live sports, if you want to call WWE a sport, but it allows you to sell commercial product much easier. I think you can justify going to commercials with a live event like that easier than you can, say, a series. But $5 billion kind of says to me that they don't care. CEOs, maybe we're past Me Too. Is that kind of what we're saying here? Is that Me Too is no longer culturally relevant? I don't know. Do you think it is?
I mean, I do think it is, but I guess once new owners take over, we ignore it. I mean, I think people will call for Vince McMahon and for him to be held accountable. I mean, clearly with these headlines, even something like people would typically say a publication like New York Post would be for, you know, protecting billionaires, et cetera. But with a headline like that, I mean, you just read it. They literally bring up how he possibly defecated on someone, just was fully straight up. I mean, that's as bad of a headline anyone will get. So as much as cancel culture is quote unquote dying, that's something like that isn't even, dude, that's, you have no respect for human beings. It almost seems like that isn't, you know, that isn't necessarily cancel or woke culture. Like, that's just, you're an awful person. That's terrible if that's true.
Yeah. Hey, talking about being canceled and being forced off stage, I guess. All right. So I want to move on from WWE because there's not much that can be more said about it than it's just gross. You know, there's some weird stories about Vince McMahon in the past, but maybe tell him some other time when we're not talking about the gross stuff that he was doing to these women. But Sid brings up a good point, and then I have no idea what happened here. I don't think anybody knows it. You just sent this over to me, and I watched it, and I have done research the past couple hours trying to figure out what the hell's going on. I have no idea. This happened at a comedy club. Set this up for me. When was this?
This, I believe this was last night, because I haven't seen anything about it until today. And it's making the rounds, and I don't know if this is confirmed, but the things I've seen mostly, this was at New York Comedy Club in New York City, and supposedly the people are saying this was a police chase that somehow ended up on stage here. Like, the person that's on stage was running from police, supposedly. And I don't know, he rolls with it, he makes a joke, and he kind of thinks everything's fine, but then no, just play the clip, you'll see how weird it gets.
Okay. All right. Whoa. Oh, jeez. Hey, how are we? We got a mic here. Hey, what's going on? Oh, jeez. All right.
I just want to stop it there just to get a good look at this. Because I have no idea what the hell's going on here. All right.
Yeah, he's definitely out of kilter, too. Like, you could tell he's like,
he seems out of it. Or is he just like, yeah, is he looking in this direction? You'll see they pan over and there's a police officer, a security guard coming this way. So is he looking at the security guard trying to figure out, you know, I'm backed into a corner here. Mm-hmm. He says, here comes a migrant. I don't think there's any it's related to a migrant or anything, but I don't know. This kind of reminds,
he's just joking.
I know, but the way this kind of wraps up, and you'll see, it reminds me of that lady on the airplane who's like yelling, you're not real, you're not real. It's like one of those kind of made my hair stand up on my arms kind of situations. Take a watch.
Jeez, everything all right? Just want to make sure everybody's good here. What's going on? Uh-oh. Oh, boy. Hey. Anything can happen at a comedy show. That was some kind of weird swingers or anything. Oh, God, somebody got tased. Oh, boy. I really froze there. I went to Mitch McConnell. All right. Okay.
Now everyone's just weirded out.
All right, so if you're listening on the podcast version, what you see on the video here is a comedian's on stage at the New York Comedy Club, and then you have an individual in a vest come up, look completely bamboozled, and then run away from police officers or security guards and allegedly get tased down the hallway, shocking the audience. And then the comedian himself, you hear him say, you know, make the Mitch McConnell joke that he froze, and then he's asked to leave the stage. He's escorted off the stage himself. And then it
continues. And this is Mark Normand for those. Okay. This is comedian Mark Normand.
And then, yeah, Sid says right here, the MC or whoever it is comes out, someone with the club. And this is not a way to handle a crowd. That's all I'm going to say when there's an event, a creepy, weird event that just played out.
Guys, everything's fine. We just had a momentary interruption. Just stay, get out the taping. Guys, please,
can we get us out or what? Cut the camera.
Yes. Yeah, I'm one of the producers of the show. Yeah, we just need everybody to get out, please. Slow, everything's fine.
Excuse me, got any photos or video?
Yeah, what's going on here, man? Dan says, do you think it's all part of the act?
I don't think so. They all say cut the cameras, though, which is weird. I think they were kind of nervous that something was happening because they have no idea what that guy was doing. And you never know lately. I mean, tensions have been higher as of late, ever since all this war has broken out. So I don't know. Are they just being cautious, especially in a city like New York, after someone storms a stage? Or like, is that them taking things too far, overreacting as a comedy club or show? Or I mean, that's kind of where I immediately go, but it is, I mean, really, it's hard to find what really happened. It doesn't even seem like what I was saying is confirmed, that it is a police chase.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's a good way for Norman to drive some publicity. Like,
I mean, he's really popular already. I don't know. He just seemed also really weirded out. Like, it didn't seem like he was in on that joke.
Yeah. Huh. I'm just trying to think of what it could have been. Like, what I guess just a standard security guard police chase that comes on the stage, but the way that the girl was
some
talking,
sort of like threat,
she knew, maybe she knew something. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, especially when someone storms the stage, who knows what he said when he was running? Because you know, I mean, you've been to comedy clubs. When you're going in there, there's a couple staff members at the door, but other than that, once the show starts, the bar is empty. Everyone's sitting in there. So maybe he just ran in, stormed in, said something crazy. You know, said he had some sort of weapon. I don't know. I mean, it doesn't seem, but that's a weird thing. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of information out. Maybe it did just happen.
About it. New York Post has an article about it saying that they reached over to the comedy club and police, and no one's really commenting about it. Weird.
It is weird.
Yeah. Could he be an alien? AI?
I knew you were going to go to alien. I don't think so. I mean, it almost seems like, if anything, people were worried about maybe some sort of like terrorist threat, like the way everyone reacted.
So talking about making up fake crap, comedians making up fake crap. I don't know if that's what the guy was doing, if Les Norman was doing that, but Hasan Minhaj, you sent this over, was tapped as a new Daily Show host and then quickly dumped after a New Yorker article exposed part of a stand-up act as kind of being faked to a degree. Well, not to a degree, very much faked. He at one point said that so Hasan Minhaj had a show on Netflix, right? That was really
the
big.
Patriot Act.
It
was pretty good, actually, yeah.
And in one of his stand-up specials, I think it was in one of his stand-up specials, he told a anecdote about being sent a letter, and in that letter was a white powder, and in that he thought might have been anthrax, and when he opened the letter, that spilled on his daughter, and he had to rush his daughter to the hospital. And the New Yorker exposed that was false; he had made it up. But I would think that hyperbole and exaggerations are kind of normal for stand-up. But when you're talking like racial stories like this, and you're a guy that's making it about race and doing political humor, I think it kind of crosses the line. Where do you stand with that?
I mean, the line between, what's real and fake in comedy, it could be anywhere. But I think with his intentions and saying a joke like that, I don't know, in a hyper-politicized world, like to joke about your daughter getting like anthrax near her or chemicals just because you make political jokes, like, I don't know. It's just... Yeah. And you know me, I'm all for, I think you should be able to joke about anything and everything. Like comedy, nothing is off limits. But I just think that's going a little far, especially with what we've seen lately in politics and around, I mean, especially they want to talk about race and racism in a lot of these stand-ups. I mean, that's something that I feel like continues to fuel the issues around it. But again, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I mean, I do think they should be able to say anything they want to, but I just... When a stand-up has something that's serious and hard-hitting, that part does not ever seem fake. It usually is like the exaggerated punchline that everyone's like, oh, okay, like that's obviously.
I remember the old program director that would stress the importance of, creating a emotional kind of moment, a very touching moment, and then following that up with some humor or vice versa. And a lot of time comics and their stand-up acts will create a very touching moment to bring your emotions in one direction solely to bring you in the other direction very hard, make it easier to get the laugh out of you later. And I think this was kind of told in that situation. You're 100% right. I mean, you can't be doing that. Yeah.
I mean, I think it's fair that he didn't get the job because of that. Cause I don't know. He's a decent comedian, but I think it proves that like maybe he's relying on things that will get him headlines rather than just doing jokes, which is what the job should be.
Yeah. So a lot of changes in the world of video games. I don't know if you saw. Tons of layoffs. 21,000 workers have been laid off by 76 tech companies within the past month.
Is Microsoft the biggest, I think?
Yeah. Well, in their acquisition of Activision, I'm reading here, 1,900 people were let off. And it's allegedly causing huge problems in the video game industry. And what they're blaming again is coronavirus and saying people at home were buying a lot of video games at the time. And now that they're pulling out of coronavirus and they were able to, hire a lot of more workers working remotely, they're just over there's an overflow of people that are working for them, and they're just trying to right the ship. But I don't know. I kind of think there's something going on here with maybe AI automation, moving away from humans developing and more so into automated development. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know if it's that rapid, that quick that those things are happening. It's just honestly the economy. I think a lot of these companies have been waiting to do things like this. And if they haven't, they're starting to inch toward it. But I'm sure, especially in a job like video game production, I'm sure there are automated things. I mean, we work around media. It isn't nearly at that level or that kind of technological capable. But like the things they do and the programs they run are so advanced, but that's at the same time, some of the programs are so capable that they use that, you know, I wouldn't say it's out of the picture that a lot of these jobs were impacted by AI. But I also don't think it's this overnight, like, this is video games in this year because AI is around. This is due to the layoffs. Anytime there's a merger, because like you said, Activision and Microsoft, they're always going to try to consolidate and give more work to more people. And
yeah, you know. I guess I wonder because I think of design and all and creating the innards of video games. Is there kind of clients that you can hand off the monotonous tasks? I don't know. I don't know enough about it.
I feel like the good studios don't do that. I mean, look at Rockstar. Look at I guess what's that one that made Harry Potter last year? Portkey. I think the details in all these new games, it's crazy. So I don't know. I don't know if it doesn't seem outsourced, but I could totally be wrong on that.
Dan chiming in. You're right. They dumped a ton of money in the economy, so companies would hire. Now, where's the second comment? Okay, there it is. Now all the money comes back. Layoffs are everywhere. And Sid says he got anthrax in the mail. He was so relieved when he learned it was fentanyl.
Oh, did you get it from China?
Yeah. Yo, Sid, join us. Oh, he's commenting on Twitter. Go over to the YouTube page. I dropped the StreamYard link. You can get on here with us if you wanted to. I don't know if we want to do that, though. I feel like he'll just get us in trouble with Greg. Look at the profile picture. It's all Greg. We don't want to do that now. No, not at all. Hey, what are you watching before we get over to sports?
I have really been getting into The Boys finally.
Oh, yeah?
Halfway through season one, I'm going to try to... I probably won't finish it tonight, but I'll at least watch a few episodes over dinner and chill out.
You watching the spinoff?
I didn't yet.
Uh-oh. I lost Anthony. Well, while we wait for him to come back, Gen 5 is the spinoff of The Boys on Amazon, and I haven't checked it out yet. But it's something I do want to check out. Ooh, Sid says he's here now. Oh, yeah. Sid, scroll back up. I'll send you the link again. Hold on. Let me see if it works. Maybe you can fill in for Anthony. While I wait for Anthony, I'll switch over to sports because I want to get this out there. Oh, there's Anthony. Yo, how are you upside down? Oh, you were upside down for a second. That was impressive.
They're trying to sabotage our stream. I don't know what's happening. I don't know if it's Sid. I don't know who did it.
So Gen 5 is what I was asking about, or Gen V, whatever they call it.
I did not watch it yet, but that's only because I never watched The Boys. So I'm starting with The Boys. I don't know why it took me so long, but I'll just say this. I think I understand why people love the show, and it really does. It shows how superheroes would be if they were in real life. I mean, it really does. I think it takes the politician angles and kind of combines it with that real world flair of you know, the fantasy of superheroes.
Yeah, so if you're unaware, The Boys on Amazon, like Homelander is a Superman type character, and he's a very flawed individual where he has a very you know what, the best way to describe it is it kind of explores the skeletons in the closet that you would imagine mm-hmm. superheroes to have, and it's really interesting how they do it. And It's a really good show. I got to get back into it. I watched the first two seasons, I think. I think it's season four.
There's a third. I think actually, I don't know if there's a fourth. I thought the third was the newest, but maybe I'm just confusing that new show that you're saying, because I know they did have that spinoff.
Gotcha. Dan says the aliens. He wants us to talk about the aliens, I guess.
Well, there are new Alien movies coming out this year. There's going to be a new Alien of that series, and actually an FX series. They're making a spinoff of all the Alien movies, which I'm amped up about. If you haven't watched Alien, Alien Covenant, I think the first one's Prometheus, actually, technically, and then Alien Covenant, but both are outstanding. And the TV series, I don't think, comes out this year, but the new movie will be out this year.
And if you want something to explore, I think Britney Spears has been inhabited by an alien, so go check that out. Took a real deep dive into Britney Spears conspiracies this week. It's a lot of fun. I was thinking about bringing it up and going in depth here on the other side, but I thought maybe that might burn our reputation.
I don't know. That could be a good episode. That's I mean, right up our alley. We're always talking about pop culture and conspiracy all in one.
I mean, there's a video of her dancing where she does like this, and you can see like the filter doesn't catch up, and it's like someone else is using a Britney Spears filter. It's real weird.
Oh no, it's not her. Oh my god.
Oh, dances the aliens took you offline. Can you confirm?
Oh yeah, that's true. It is. They told us to stop telling the truth online. We're gonna kick you off the broadcast airwaves.
Evil Paramount. Skeptical psychologist Kristen Bouchard joins David Acosta, who is training to be a Catholic priest and a blue-collar contractor, as they investigate the church's backlog of unexplained mysteries, including supposed miracles, demonic possessions, and other extraordinary occurrences. Job is to assess if there's a logical explanation or something truly supernatural is at work, examining the origins of evil along the dividing line between science and religion, originally on CBS. Rotten Tomatoes, 95%. That's what Sid's watching. Have you seen that?
I haven't, but I would definitely watch that. Yeah, sounds right up my alley.
Yeah, it looks like something I'm definitely going to check out.
There's also a new season of True Detective, which I have not watched yet, but I know everyone says the first season will never be lived up to, which is, I get it. It's very, very, very good. But this new season looks pretty intriguing. We'll see. I'm probably going to give it a shot at one point, and I'll let you guys.
Yeah, True Detective was actually the most streamed of the past week, newest season. Okay. Followed closely by it was the season finale of Fargo recently.
Oh, yep. Yep. Have you watched that?
What, new
I've
Fargo?
I've gotten a lot of recs. I got a lot of recs for Fargo. I haven't watched it yet. I mean, I've seen the movie, not the show, though.
Well, I've seen the first two seasons of Fargo, and they're all anthology type. But Maisie is really into Fargo. Like all the seasons, we watch them together. And she's in her busy season right now. And she's like, can you wait for me to watch it? And Don's burned through it all, and I really want to talk about it with him, but I have not watched it yet. But it's definitely one of those that's on the list as well. What we've been doing is, like, when she comes home at night, it's like we just want something that we can reset our brains and she can be chill and happy with. And the new season of Love on the Spectrum came out. Have you watched it?
Yeah, I've seen that. I haven't seen the new season, but I've seen the show. Yeah.
It's such a good show. I'm sorry to be... bring the feminine side of things here, but it's one of those shows that like you watch it and you just feel so good afterwards. What it is, it's a dating show, and it's people that are on different levels of autism spectrum, from Asperger's all the way to Down syndrome, and they go on dates and try to find love, and it's done really like really well done, and I mean in like the way they're not making fun of these people, you're just really hoping the best for them, and it's really good fun show to watch. I do suggest it. Tulsa King was good. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't, Sid. why sorry, bring it up? Why did you say? Did you mention Tulsa King?
I don't think so. Did you? I don't think I did.
It's terrible. I feel like it just got love locally because of Stallone.
Yeah, well, that's you. Oh, it's the Rocky. Yeah,
it was, horribly written. It was horribly acted. I'm sorry. All right. So did my father. He enjoyed it too, Sid. Mangle says, "Yo, Dan, I still miss Dexter. I miss Dexter too. Besides the final season, so those things were garbage." How can I join that show, Dan? I send the link. Go, just join the link. It's like Zoom. You can chime in. I'm going to have Panera Bread. You like Panera Bread? Maisie's on her way home right now.
I don't know. I think it's glorified hospital food. I love it.
No,
I mean,
Did we have this conversation last week? Because maybe this was
the quality has gone down. The quality has gone down. We did have this conversation last week. That's why I thought
it was on the podcast or was it after the podcast?
No, it was after. Yeah, it was after.
I was very excited. I was getting some Panera bread because Maisie brought it home for me last week too, and she's bringing it in again. Reacher, Sid, no.
Reacher sucked. Reacher, he's just saying shows you hate. I think on purpose.
Is he trying to trigger me? I think that's what he's doing. His Reacher is so overrated, and it's still in the top five most watched, most streamed shows, and it's horribly written. The actor that plays, I had to look up whether there's something wrong with the character, Jack Reacher. the actor was so bad at acting. It's overpriced crap. Yeah, if you're talking Jack Reacher, I agree. Who wants to be a contestant? My love life is a desert. Are you on the spectrum? Is that what you're saying?
Maybe.
So, I mean, go ahead. They've done like people on
well,
their
speaking
50s,
of love shows,
30s.
We didn't bring this up.
Yeah.
The Bachelor has two contestants from Philly, and the one girl shotgunned a beer with the Bachelor. And actually, the Bachelor also, he's originally from Philly suburbs, and he went to Westchester. So a lot of Philly ties for the Bachelor out of nowhere this season.
Are you watching it?
I didn't watch it, but I've seen this stuff on social media just because all the Philly people are in it.
Mary's watching it, isn't she?
She didn't watch it yet. She's been turned off of The Bachelor because she didn't like The Golden Bachelor. So she's been on an anti-Bachelor kick.
What was her beef with The Golden Bachelor? She ages?
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I'll tell her that. Her issue was the guy acted like he never dated any women after his widow, but that was a lie. And he like played that up for the show, and it was just a lie. She didn't like that he played into that. But of course, they all lie. We're producers. Could you imagine being a producer of one of those shows? Like, of course they lie. Like, they're looking for the good storyline. That's all they care about.
Yeah, Wyman, hop on this feed. Let's get. I don't know if you're a Stern guy, but they used to do dial a date. If there's any females watching and single females, let's get this going. Let's find Dan a girl.
Oh my God, we're gonna be Dr. Phil or like playing Cupid here. I don't know.
Yeah,
that's out of our pay grade. Okay. That's out of our pay grade. I don't know if I can give people.
I'll send you all on a date to McDonald's or something. It's like $50 now for a meal for two, but.
Go on a coffee date.
Coffee date. Yeah, it's only like $40.
It's cheaper. Yeah, coffee's like way too expensive now. But
get off here soon, Hell's Kitchen. Sorry, I just wanted to remind people that they don't care. But Gordon Ramsay's Hell's Kitchen finale is coming up here in an hour.
I've been watching it.
Have you caught up? Have you caught up?
I'm not at the end yet. I think we're on episode 7, but we're almost there.
Okay.
We're almost there. So we've been catching up quick.
Let me just say the person that you expect to win is probably going to win.
Okay. All right. We'll see what happens. I always liked Hell's Kitchen. Mary's never watched it ever. So it's an experience for her. Yeah, she likes it. Yeah.
Yeah. You guys watched
it? How could you not?
Didn't you say you guys checked out the Gordon and his buddies traveling through Spain as well?
Yeah. There's a bunch. I love watching him with that Italian chef. What's his name? Gino
yeah.
something.
Yeah, they have it. It comes on after Hell's Kitchen, the show now, or the two-part special that they did. But I bring that up because Jack Whitehall, you know, the comedian, British guy, he does a show called Travels with My Father on Netflix. And it's it's under the radar. I don't know if you ever watched it, but it's a comedian, British comedian, and he goes with his father who's, I got to say, early, mid-70s. And he's just a curmudgeon. He's never left his hometown. He doesn't like traveling. And he just puts him through the most ridiculous things ever. And you get the dad's reaction. You have like the father-son relationship that's really heartwarming, but it's also hilarious at the same time. He says the dad just has no filter whatsoever. So it's called Jack Whitehall Travels with My Father. I've been around for a while now. I'm way late to the party here. But I do suggest it as another one of those good before bed, take the steam off kind of shows.
Mm-hmm. I need to check out. That almost sounds like Netflix does a lot of stuff like that ever since they did the Seinfeld coffee, you know, comedians getting coffee type of thing. So.
And before I told you about Hell's Kitchen, it looked like you were going to say something. I didn't mean to cut you off. What were you saying?
Well, Nick Sirianni's here to stay. And just wanted your opinion on that. How are you feeling? Are you just depressed over the Eagles and where they're going?
I am more than depressed. I don't know if I can give them my fandom. Well, Sirianni's a coach here. Like, it's tough. Like, I want to support him and all, but the guy is just an absolute complete moron.
The offensive coordinator is going to be in charge of the offense, and the defensive coordinator is going to be in charge of the defense. What is your role there?
The head coach of the football team.
What does that entail? How does it change?
Yeah.
I'm the head coach.
I guess... What, you know, it'd be this very similar to what's going on right now. You know, does that mean I'll sit more into defensive meetings at times, maybe, right? Instead of always being in an offensive meeting, maybe I go to a defensive meeting here and there. But my job is to be the head coach of the team, not the head coach of the offense, not the head coach of the defense, not the head coach of the special teams, but be the head coach of the football team. And so that's building the culture. That's making sure the culture's, you know, working, you know, with our five core values, are taking every day at a time. Like, we're not coming up with new core values. I mean, we may shuffle where the things are that are important and the most important. But that's diving into that, building the culture, having a relationship with the guys on the football team.
I hate him. I hate him.
I know when I have that connection with the guys on the football team, that's when things are, you know, that's when
it's just PR talk.
No, it's complete BS that you bring someone into office to say what the hell happened here, and they just bullshit you for 3 minutes. And I don't know how Jeffrey Lurie, a very smart individual, and Howie Roseman listened to this guy in an office for that Friday. He was probably in there for what, 4 or 5 hours of probably the same crap over and over again, and think this is the guy that
yes,
I want going forward. Is that what it is?
They want a yes man, and I think that's what he is. I think that's why they had issues with Doug, because Doug wanted to kind of take the reins, but. They want a guy that they could kind of help them with coordinators. They want him to be the face, but I don't know. I don't think they want a head coach that, like, I don't think they want a Belichick who's going to take, you know, all the power, or someone with these old style coaches. I don't know if they want that. And that, I mean, it's worrying. I do like the whole Vic Fangio stuff. I think that's encouraging.
I don't.
Yeah, I do.
I'm very discouraged by it.
I just think he's a guy the Eagles have been looking at for defense for a while, and I think there's a reason for that. So I think he fits the culture. Is it going to be the thing we need to fix the defense? I don't know, because it seems like we need to get a lot of pieces to help fix this defense. But I don't know. As much as I didn't really want to come to the conclusion of firing Sirianni, hearing things like that and thinking about if he can't really lead the vision on offense or on defense, let alone both, then why are you the head coach?
Yeah.
And that I think that that's the biggest issue I have with how they're handling it.
It talks about culture and the 4 or 5 tenants or whatever. Dude, your culture blows. Like, AJ's out there, you know, whining. Well, not whining. He's complaining, rightfully so, in my opinion, of a horrible environment, and then having to backtrack after what I think is him being slapped on the wrist by management. What is Howie trying to yes man besides him losing his job? Because it's not Jeffrey Lurie that needs a yes man. I think it's Howie that needs a yes man, because he still wants Jeffrey to be his guy, right?
I just think it seems like they get too involved with it. It's like when you have that boss that's trying to do someone else's job, and it's like, well, why'd you even hire that person? You know, I think that's they want it done in such a specific way, and they know Nick will just bow down and say yes. So, yeah, Sid says he's a head coach who makes the decisions. Exactly. It seems like Howie and Lurie are the ones that make the decisions, and that's kind of how they want it to be. So, I don't know. I think getting rid of him, it would have been the same issue. It would have been the same issue, though. It seems like they want someone that can just be controlled. So, I don't know. It gives me concerns moving forward, even if we have had sustained success. It really does. What are we going to do long term?
And the reason why I don't like Fangio, dude, is what's the number one, if you have one criticism of the Eagles defense in their scheming, what's the number one thing that kills us over and over again? Short passes over the middle.
Well, because we don't care about linebackers. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing, though.
Secondary and pass rush.
Vic Fangio is the creator of that ideology. He created a counter to Shanahan's offense where he put two high safeties out there. I mean, it's similar to a cover two, but 3-4, right? He has a 3-4 offense with two safeties out there, and he essentially leaves the center of the field open in a bend, don't break style defense. And everything we complain about the Eagles is that we put out this bend, don't break defense that bends too much and then eventually breaks and they can't stop shit. And we're going to now get the guy who, I mean, he's the expert. He's the number one guy. But why do we not go after a Wink Martindale or somebody, a Ron Rivera, somebody who likes to blitz, someone aggressive, not this same old crap of, you know, play off the receiver, cover two crap, come up and try to make a play by confusing the quarterback. It's just, it hasn't worked with our players ever.
Yeah, no, we have to have a good pass rush. I think that's why Howie always focuses on D-line. And, I mean, secondary needs to be really looked at. So, I don't know. I'm trying to, I guess, find a silver lining. I'm not totally sold on it, but I'm happy at least with some changes. I don't know. At this point, we're just going to have to see if they bounce back in the beginning of the year and go from there. There's going to be a ton of chatter either way. But I wanted to get your thoughts quick. Sixers, I mean, there really isn't much to say. Joel Embiid's a god, continues to drop 70. And there's pictures of him wearing Skechers. Apparently, he's going to leave Under Armour for Skechers, which I'm all for. Whatever. Embiid's the common man, and he probably just wants to get as much money as he can. So whatever. Take the Skechers deal. The shoes look actually kind of cool. I looked them up. They have like a new basketball line, but I don't know who's paying 120.
Is that what they're called?
Yeah, something. Yeah, the float, the Skechers float.
I don't know.
Yeah,
man. You're a fan.
I mean, that's like kind of how a lot of the new basketball shoes
they look. I'm like the Shaquille O'Neal shoes that they used to sell at Walmart.
Yeah, kind of. They do. I don't know. I like a lot of the colorways now are almost like a '90s. Inspired look, and I kind of like it. It almost, that looks like an end one shoe, kind of, you know what I mean? Like, it looks like, or a Starbury. Do you remember the Starburys? Like, that's the kind of, oh, that's a great picture of DeSantis that you had there.
Oh, that's the picture I have as my background on my phone. Here it
is. So, yeah, I don't know.
I don't even care to play it now, but you're right. It's a great picture.
Biden is going after Texas, saying that they must remove fortifications from their border. They put wire, they put things.
Oh, my God.
What is this angle, why this angle? Where do you think he ends up? Do you think he ends up somewhere in the Trump administration?
I don't know. He'll stay in Florida for now until all this stuff blows over. But I don't know. He could probably get a job if he wanted it. I just think he'll probably want to be the big bad governor now that tries to one up the party after how he got treated. Even though it's his own fault, he's just awkward and weird. But
are you saying he's going to go rogue like Chris Christie? He's going to start working for ABC and start doing commentary?
Maybe. Could you imagine CNN tonight with Ron DeSantis? I mean, oh my God!
All right, any final thoughts?
I think for a job,
babe. Is that you? Yep, she just walked in with Panera, so I'm going to get going here.
You have to eat Panera, but I just, not to be so depressing, as good as the Flyers have been, if you have not heard, Carter Hart has left indefinitely, and this is all after a sexual assault case has broke for the Team Canada team. Five players are involved. A lot of the others are witnesses. We don't know if Carter Hart was allegedly involved in the assault or if he was just a witness. But yeah, that's going to be something that holds the team back after having such a positive season. So it's a sad day for hockey in general, and the players are reporting to London to testify. So,
well, it's like all of them are essentially, there are multiple that were involved now have done exactly what Carter Hart have done and taken a leave, right? So is that, yeah, that essentially
more than five did it though. So it doesn't mean that they're all involved. Some of them might just be witnesses, but yeah, it's going to be complex, however this falls out.
Do you think Carter is directly involved?
I mean, he's never given me that He's such a hardworking kid, and I think he's really fit in with the culture in Philly and like blue collar. He's never really given off that kind of skeevy,
that Vince McMahon vibe.
Yeah, he hasn't given off the Vince McMahon vibe, but you never know, man. I mean, people are weird, especially when like you're around a team like that. It almost turns into a fraternity. So I don't know. I hope he wasn't involved. I hope whoever the victims are, you know, given their justice, but it's just going to be, it sucks. It just sucks for hockey in general. And I don't want to make it about us, but it's just, it's a horrible, it's, you don't want to ever hear something like this.
Yeah. So. Well, I brought up Vince again, so I'll share that story I was talking about. There's this famous story about Vince McMahon with a burrito, and I'm going to read it here. It says, I think we're going to poison Big Show and give him a spike burrito, a writer writes. The whole concept was, we're going to spike his food, spike the burrito. You cut the vignette before the shows, Big Show's eating the burrito, and then later on he passes out in the ring, and we go from there. So Vince, during the writers' meeting, goes, a burrito? Who the hell knows what a burrito is? It was such a foreign concept. Everyone in the room goes, well, we know what a burrito is. Vince goes, well, where the hell have I been? Funny thing is, every day at noon, Vince's secretary would walk into the office, the writing room, with a burrito. It was a steak wrap cut in half. He would put ketchup on it. Every day, this guy was eating a burrito, not knowing what it was, but that's the idea. When you're in a bubble and in a business where you're ostracized from society, it's you and them, and that's it. And that's what the guy is. He's like a guy that's wrapped up in a bubble, complete perv, I guess, and sad, man. Sad to see what a guy that created something psycho. I love so much has become. Yeah.
Psycho. Just straight psycho. Up psycho.
Yeah. How do you not know what a burrito is, man? All right. On that note, Anthony, I'll see you tomorrow. Everybody here, tune in. 1210WPHT, youtube.com/1210WPHT. Like and subscribe. Nick Kill, Anthony, you see them in the morning, and you see Dom and I in the afternoon. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Peace.